Good morning. Today is Thursday, the 7th of July. Joining us this morning, Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel. Good morning.
Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Oh, I don't know.
Really?
It's been a week of Mondays so far.
It has.
So we will just kind of see how today develops.
Okay.
And leave it there.
Okay.
Smart guy. How about for you?
Oh, it's fine. You know what?
It's fine.
It's July already, and so it's like it's just crazy. Our summer is pretty much halfway over, and
yeah.
You know, so,
but you're getting a little bit of relief with the water.
Yes, I tell you, we're
at least keeps you know the dust off of squad cars.
Well, it's postponing this you know the fire season a little bit, which is really really nice. This weather that came through this last weekend, and I mean it's. Gave us some wedding ring all the way through Siskiyou County. So
don't cry
really
for
nice.
Me, Argentina. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it just pushes things back. But our real, you know, high fire season is October or September, October. So that's still definitely in the crosshairs here.
All right. Are you ready for a why we say it?
Lay it on me.
All right. Snow job. Why do we say snow job?
Let's just get to it.
Okay? Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those call you out ones.
Yes.
When a person sets out to do a snow job on you, the temperature doesn't matter. It can happen in a season when falling white stuff wouldn't last 30 seconds after hitting the ground. But the verbal metaphor really is based on winter weather. That is when snow can pile up deeply before anyone has a chance to clear a path. A persuasive flow of words aimed at overwhelming by sheer mass. So be wary when you face a verbal deluge that's too smooth and allows you no time to think about dealing with it. There's a good chance someone is trying to blanket you 2 feet deep before you can get out the old snow shovel.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yes. I've been in a room with a couple of those people.
Yeah. Well, and the other option probably wasn't printable.
Right. Absolutely. Moving on.
Yes. Rolling, rolling, rolling.
Yes.
So you were a fan of Rawhide also?
Way back in the day?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Clint Eastwood Young?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dang. Oldie but a goodie?
Yeah. I still think that was one of the cooler theme songs.
Yeah. For sure. I just remember the Blues Brothers singing it.
Oh, jeez. Going to pull the age card, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Have you seen Elvis yet?
I haven't.
Gonna?
I don't think so.
I wasn't a big fan either, but it was a cool movie.
It was.
Ange was big. Yeah. So yeah. It was like, yeah, okay, for a biography, it's not bad.
Not bad. Okay,
and the kid,
good.
The kid that's acting as Elvis does a darn good job.
Okay.
Yeah.
I might check it out.
I don't know how realistic it is, but Priscilla went and saw it and gave it her blessing, so it's got to be somewhat close.
Well, I'm just happy I went and saw Top Gun, you know? And
yeah, we're going to go back and do that one, second time.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Nice.
I mean, it starts out with the right song.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's got to be there.
Yeah. So it was a good movie. Yeah, definitely.
So the election results are
finalized,
pretty much cooked.
Yes.
Some surprises, some niceties, some disturbances, you know, depending on what your perspectives are and points of view, and that's probably
right.
Par for the course.
Right.
I understand, at least from Rexy yesterday, that the budget stuff is already starting to kind of coalesce, at least from a couple years ago, that it's starting to kind of come into focus a little bit and that there's some really nice inertia going on.
Well, I hope so. You know, I mean, we've, you know, gone through the pandemic and there was a lot of stimulus that came into our county and we were really fortunate to come out, you know, with a budget surplus. However, when we don't have the last 3 years closed out, it's just hard to know what that final, you know, what our bank accounts really show.
So, may have been surplus. I mean, there were raises that were given and then the waiver of the pot farmers. But I guess, Newsom did something yesterday?
He waived it statewide? The state tax.
So it's not even 15%?
Waived the state tax on
sales tax on it?
I believe.
Or income tax?
I'm not sure what
property tax or gas tax at the pumps for?
Yeah, no.
Or
this is for cannabis. So,
yeah,
cannabis.
But for folks that are growing the stuff.
Yes.
You know, they're paying regular taxes like the rest of us are.
Right. So there was a state tax for the cultivators and a local tax. So those are waived now.
Surcharge?
Yes. So this is above and beyond the sales tax. And so that is now waived. And, you know, the deal is it's an agricultural product, right? And so it's going to, you know, people are going to make money on it if they're good business people and they know how to, you know, market their product. And let's get back to, you know, what an agricultural product is supposed to be. And that is people really aren't going to be making millions of dollars off of it like they've done in the illegal market. So if you are in... No.
I mean, I'm sure you've seen some of the buckets of bills that get found every once in a while.
Right.
Is that as staggering as seeing what some of these kids are signing for that are playing professional sports?
Oh, it's, yeah, I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's probably as close to Hollywood as we would get.
Oh, right. It's staggering. But I just don't get that. How is that sustainable? But anyway, the marijuana stuff.
Give me 2 years. I'm done.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, checked right. out and gone. If I have $10 million in the bank.
Right. My knee hurts.
Oh,
after a
yeah.
year, right?
Yeah. I'm losing my dexterity. Darn. Okay.
But yeah, so those entertainers are making the big bucks, and meanwhile our teachers and our police officers are barely making it.
Oh, no. See, you say that, then there's a reference point, and everybody below it now looks at you a little different.
Oh, no. Yeah. But, I mean, it is one of those things that, you know, in the United States we do have that opportunity. It's if you make it big and, you know, NBA, NHL.
Hey, if you just have a good idea.
Right.
You know, who would have thought cans of water?
Cans of water, right? Here
right?
we are, marketing.
Boom, yeah. So there's, or this internet thing,
mini storage, you know.
Yeah, boy, I heard some stunning figures, but I guess we are so way off topic that the county is kind of about the mini storage because they want low cost, affordable housing instead of mini storage.
You know,
and that there's a friction and tension that's going on now with a couple of guys that are trying to build this thing.
I made
a suggestion to one of my buddies yesterday. I said, well, put a couple of roomers or dormers up on top.
Yeah.
And you got some eyes to look at the compound, and maybe that'll push it through a lot quicker for you.
Oh, yeah. But housing is a whole different topic. You know, we need to have a big discussion on housing countywide. So.
I think we do daily.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Billy Hansel. There's been a number of events that have happened since we last got together.
Yeah.
Not focused in Humboldt County specifically.
Right.
Are you following up on the information, not the initial blast across the media, but maybe 5 weeks in, where some of the facts are really laid out and it's detailed and it's not... I mean, it's still going to be emotional, but there's going to be a lot of facts that are available then that aren't immediately. Do you ever just kind of delve into these things and look at it and say, okay, really what happened here? How come? Why did these guys act this way or gals? Why did they screw up? Was it misreported? You know, depending on who you listen to, this most recent one where the individual got, 50, 60 bullet wounds, One report was saying that it took a couple of shots at cops, chased, stopped, put his handgun in the back seat, ran, and then made a motion to the cops like he was going to take another shot at him.
Right.
Well, you know, there is that death by cop or suicide by cop that's thrown out there. doesn't seem to get an awful lot of traction. But as things develop down the road, new information comes available, but everybody's chasing the new bright shiny.
Right.
You do any of that follow-up, or do the law enforcement entities that you work with or associations, do they do follow-up on this stuff to say, really, what happened? Here's lessons learned, and here's fabrication?
Absolutely. So we do have internal controls for that. So if something like that happens locally, there's a couple different things that happen. One is we do an administrative-type investigation, and we do a criminal investigation. And both of those focus on, you know, the event that occurred and the things that happened prior to. And we do assess.
But if you had the national media all here,
right,
and everybody pounding on you, and then
right,
the protests and all that, it's really tough to do anything.
It's
isolated,
right,
from that. Like I'm sure all these other departments are having to deal with. Do you bring in somebody out from outside and just say, "Hey, guys, this one's too big, too hot, too much pressure. You gotta step in and do this so that there's no thoughts of impropriety."
Absolutely. So that does happen. We do some of those investigations, and we do turn them over. I mean, we have a state law now that if someone is unarmed and they're killed by law enforcement, then the Attorney General's office does come in and lead the investigation. Now, you know, when they say lead the investigation, we are still involved in that. The district attorney's involved in that because that's really the person that's going to determine, you know, what's truly criminal or not. But the Attorney General does weigh in, does lead the investigation. You know, there are different commissions around the United States that will look critically at an incident. And they, you know, people, you know, the police,
oh, so you
police
bring
foundation,
them in.
Yeah, the police foundation is one of them, and they critically review, you know, incidents, and they, you know, they look at a lot of different things, you know, and
are they as aggressive against as they are aggressive for?
They are fact finding. That is it. They lay the facts out there of what it is, and that's what we really want to encourage the public to understand is. We can't, our society and our justice system is not built on instant justice, right? Take them and hang them. You know, once you see it, you take them and hang them. That does not happen here. We have due process and rights under the Constitution. And
yeah, hangings and lynchings that hope have gone by the wayside.
Absolutely, because people have the right to a fair trial, which means that we have to collect evidence. We have to, justice is delayed. And so we have to make sure that everything, you know, that all the facts are in before, you know, someone can make a determination on whether or not something is criminal. So we want to build confidence with our public to let them know that, you know, though something may look really horrible, you know, because something may be captured on video and it may be, absolutely. But we want to make sure is to instill confidence in our justice system and our investigation, and that we will be as transparent as we possibly can from the very beginning without compromising the case. Because we have to also believe that if we're investigating a criminal act, whether it's, you know, whether it's a civilian or a police officer, is that we can't taint the jury pool, you know, in providing too much information to where, you know, the jury can be dissuaded outside of the public courtroom. So
it's always been curious to me, the concept of a fair jury trial. Okay, if you're local, you know people.
Yes.
Yeah, period, end of story. In a textbook laboratory setting, I wonder if it could ever be determined that a trial was 100% fair within a certain region.
Right.
Even if it's like a DUI or something that's pretty basic, if
right,
it would be more apt if we were trying Mendocino counties,
right,
and Mendocino County was trying Sonoma County, and Sonoma County was handling Humboldt County.
Right.
You know, the cost would go up significantly, but at least that would ensure a little bit greater likelihood.
Well, that's why we have a trial by our peers, you know, as it's...
Yeah, do you want a whole bunch of cops sitting on your jury?
Well...
I've always wondered about that.
Yeah.
Geez, 12 broadcasters.
I don't know. They may be pretty critical, you know?
Yeah.
Everyone's got an opinion.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
And used to having it shared.
Yes.
Oh, KINS, News and Information Time.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hunsell. So we've got how a story is portrayed, first blush, then there's the trial, and then the reactions and things of that nature. But then we get to the sentencing, and it's interesting to me how some of these are treated, I guess is the simplest way.
Right.
Is, from your point of view, is there consistency in sentencing?
There is no consistency in sentencing. We have, you know, there's here in California, in Humboldt County, we have a, you know, we have a judicial process, and the judges are a part of that judicial process, obviously, you know, and sentencing is up to the judge here in California. And so someone may commit a violent offense, and, you know, it's up to the judge to sentence these people to prison. And with the
prison or jail or both?
Well, both, theoretically, you know, because they have an opportunity to sentence someone to a sentence. OK, and they have to get above a 3-year sentence in actually order to send someone to actual prison, state prison.
So if I get for bad taste on air.
Yes.
Two-year sentence.
2 years, 8 months, you're going to do county jail time.
OK.
And then, you know. With the sentencing laws and
you like
and
that one. Just, there's a big smile.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Bad taste, that's at least 5.
Actually, we need to go forward with that. Yeah. I'm going to put you on our SWAT program.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, yes. But, you know, the judges, they get a pass. I don't hear anyone, you know, criticizing someone being sentenced at all. And so they have a
too
credible,
lenient, too strong.
No, the judges. We don't have a really, I guess a consistent bench that is sending people to state prison.
Now, is that what you want?
We
if
want
you've got 15
someone
different barristers. Do you want them all doing the same thing?
We want consistency across the board. So in
so
the state of California, you have a low sentence, medium sentence, and a high sentence. These are the areas where, you know, this is sentencing guidelines. Someone for a first offense could get sentenced to a low end of, the term. So, like, I'm just throwing this out there. Assault with deadly weapon, you know, it could be a 3, 4, or 8 year sentence. And so there's factors in mitigation. Is this the first time offense? You know, were they sorry? You know, was there overwhelming evidence? And so they may get 3 years, sentence. But someone who's done this before, who's on probation, who's got a violent past, should get that 8 years and should be sent off to prison. You know, there's got to be some accountability there.
Aren't there guidelines, though?
There's guidelines, but you know, the judges aren't required to follow those guidelines. They can just waive them, you know, and they could just say, you know what, I'm going to grant this guy probation or I'm going to suspend their prison sentence. I'm going to give him 3 years, but it'll be 3 years suspended, and then he can pay a fine, and as long as he's...
So you never see him.
So we never see
her.
Him. Right. And so it's just he's on probation, and unless he violates, and then the judge holds him accountable for that violation... Then
it sounds like there's a question there.
There is a question because we have people that have multiple violations of probation and that they violate again through another crime and they don't get, sentenced.
So now, who ends up splitting wood for you? How does somebody get to that point
Yeah.
You like
swap
my nomenclature,
I do.
Huh?
I do. Yes. Bad jokes on air is primary offense.
I'm working for that 5 years.
Yes. You know, people do get, you know, sentenced to county jail. And, you know, these are, you know, serial DUI offenders and those kind of things. So as long as they're not a serious or violent offense, you know, they can do, you know, county jail time. And then we can push them out on our SWAT program when they can split wood or work on our farm. You know, we've seen, you know, the state of California had, I don't know, probably close to, I think, 6 or 7 fire camps where they had CDCR prisoners the last 3 years of their sentence, you know, that weren't serious or violent. They went to these fire camps and actually worked, you know, alongside a CAL FIRE and responded and did a bunch of hand crew stuff throughout the state. It was a huge program. It was a benefit. And these people actually learned a skill and a trade, and some of them even got hired by CAL FIRE or other fire departments after the fact. It was these guys, you know, got some great career opportunities. But with, you know, COVID and how people aren't being sentenced to jail and prison anymore and the low-lying offenses, they don't have enough people to send to the fire camps anymore. And so we only have a couple fire camps that are operating within the state of California now. And
so is that the State Department of Corrections? Is that the governor? Are those judges?
It is all of the above. The governor let people out of prison early because of COVID. And so there's, you know.
Well,
so
now
people,
that we're done with that, he should be putting him back in, right?
He should be, but it seems like, you
Jeez,
know.
Jeez, a third smile from you.
It's just like.
Winston,
we
need that camera in here quick.
The state prison population, I think, is around 80,000 now. And that's the lowest level it's been in decades, I want to say. And so it's. You know, and they're looking at shutting down, you know, state prisons, which is just absolutely ridiculous to me. After a pandemic, you don't shut down these prisons because eventually people are going to start getting sentenced to prison again, and we're going to need those prisons. So we're going to be in the same boat as far as overcrowding. So I don't get it. I don't get the philosophy of that. We have to have accountability with our people that violate the law. Victims, you know, need to have that justice, and people need to serve their sentence.
And we need wood split.
And we need, the seniors need a wood program for sure.
Totally unrelated, I'm sure.
Yes. I'm going to sign you up.
4. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to 7 cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Billy Hansel. So as we look into the future here with some of the different challenges, whether it's the financial stuff or not.
Right.
Whether it's recruiting stuff or not, or media interaction or community response, things of that nature. Can you manage that stuff? Or do you react to that stuff?
No, so we try to manage that stuff, right? You can predict, and you can look at,
well,
you know,
can role play and tabletop it and all that stuff. But when it's showtime.
Yeah. We're, you know, law enforcement is reactionary a whole lot. But, you know, one thing that we are recruiting or focusing on is recruitment. Recruitment and retention is our number one focus for Humboldt County Sheriff's Office. Right now, we're heavily recruiting correctional deputies. And so, you know, for people that want to work our correctional facility.
Everybody seems to be. The Giants are running a network commercial for Contra Costa.
Yeah.
And it was, I think, Solano County 2 years ago.
Right.
There's no.
It is huge. Public safety. There's a, you know, we normally in a downturn in the economy, people look to get involved in government because it's stable, it's consistent, offer, you know, good pay, benefits, you know. But, you know, right now we are looking for those people that want to. Be a part of our public safety family.
Do you have issues? Not issues, wrong word. Do you have challenges in hiring office personnel? Not the folks out there in the rigs, not the ones in the jail, but just the business side of the department?
Skilled business, absolutely. In our business office, where we're managing payroll, personnel records, personnel file, all that stuff, that is something that we struggle with. We're consistently one or two people down in our business office. And our business office, you know, is I think we have eight in our business office, six to eight. You know, we should have 12, you know, so they're doing more all the time. And when you're below staffing, you know, it just creates a whole different stress. So civilians, though, they're less of a part of the law enforcement family here at the sheriff's office. You know, we do still have less numbers. They're less numbers. Sorry.
Yeah. You leave out a word like that, and Dad's going to pounce.
Sorry, thank you. We don't have a whole lot of civilians compared to deputy sheriffs, but it's still a challenge to hire them. And because it's not only, you know, we have to go through the county process, which is normally an oral board, written exam, and then they have to go through a background investigation.
Because they have access to certain information that's restricted.
That's correct. And so, you know, we want to make sure that people aren't, you know, that are good moral character, you know, that are part of the
not working
office.
A side job. Is that what you were saying?
We don't want people, you know, hustling information.
Okay. So, I'm working on that five.
I know. Doing a pretty good job.
What's going on with the expansion? Is there any activity on that at all?
Fire Marshal still has the plans. Supposedly they're getting close to finalizing the plans.
Is there a sunset with that?
No, there's no sunset except inflation. You know, we may be cost out of this whole program.
If you put in a building plan, you have 3 years, or you have to resubmit.
Well,
that's come and gone, right?
This is So 2015, it was approved. So this is 7 years, and
two times gone.
Yes, and the $20 million project is now a $28 million project. So,
and I don't suspect that they're going to pick up the spread.
They are not. We've talked to the state about this, talked to Senator McGuire, the governor, everyone saying, listen, it was your delay on this. State Fire Marshal, COVID, whatever else.
I would think if I was elected from a jurisdiction and they had a jail expansion need, plans, everything there, and it was just gathering dust somewhere, wouldn't that be a top five priority?
I would think so. Yeah, especially when talking about programs and all the stuff that this jail is supposed
public
to do.
Public safety.
Right.
I mean, isn't that the thing that everybody rallies around?
Right.
During election cycles?
Oh, it is. But when it's already underway, you know, someone who wants to support a project that has already been, you know, approved for cost overruns is just not a popular thing. They want to, you know, do a new program. They want to provide something new and flashy.
Well, there's plenty of extra bucks at the state from what we keep hearing.
Sure is. $80 billion?
Sure is.
I want to see that trickle down to the county. You know,
yeah, see a little Reaganomics. That'll kill the project.
Oh.
All you have to do is say that and watch
gosh,
that.
Yes.
That spigot dry up in about 10 seconds.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's frustrating dealing with the state. And
there's no appeal.
There's no appeal. We
outside
are,
pressure that
we
you
are, can. You know, we're I'm making phone calls to the Bureau of State Community, you know, Corrections, BSCC.
Can you just nibble on them to become such a pain that they would say, okay, fine, here?
We are, but the State Fire Marshal's Office, Cal Fire has a State Fire Marshal's Office that reviews these plans, and these people are highly technical, and they, you know, have a bunch of plans to review, and ours just gets kind of pushed aside.
There's
sometimes
that much expansion and remodeling going on with county
jails,
prisons and jails.
Facilities and that kind of stuff, they have it all. So, and bond projects.
This over 7 years?
Yes.
Has there been that much construction?
I don't know, other than it's just frustrating.
I think I'm at the 5 years, so we're going to get out of here right now.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, you can't take back a smile. All right, thanks for coming by, bud. See everybody tomorrow.